passage that was read, taken from Romans chapter 14, verse 7 through 9, be read again.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living.
That he might be Lord over the
dead,
dead and over the living. We touch briefly on the subject of life and death 2 or so weeks ago, and we want to really get into the lesson this week. There will be at least one more lesson on the subject of life and death. Life and death is a subject that the Almighty God has always challenged his people with. We run to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 15 and verse 19. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 15 and verse 19. Let us have it.
See, I have set before thee this day.
The Almighty God, challenging the Israelites, said to them, see,
I have set before thee this day.
I have set before you
this day,
life and good, and death and evil.
Verse 19. I call heaven. And earth to record this day against
you.
Against you. That I have set before you.
Now hear the Almighty God through Moses. The Almighty God is calling heaven as a witness that he had confronted his people with these alternatives. Verse 19, brother.
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing.
Life and death, blessing and cursing.
Therefore, choose life.
God says, choose life. And what we get here, it was up to the Israelites to choose what direction they would go. Notice the pairing here. No, it's important that we notice the pairing. 19 again.
That I have set before, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That I have set before you life and death.
It is, the pairing is life and death. You see, they are opposite. Read.
Blessing and cursing.
Blessing and cursing. They are opposite.
Therefore, choose life.
Choose life.
That both thou and thy seed may live.
Today, as I've said, the title or subject under consideration is life and death. The emphasis in this lesson and the lesson that follows is longevity. That is the emphasis. And while I may not get to the detail of longevity. That is why some people live long. We would say a rightful age. And others seem to have been cut off, called home to eternity in the prime of their lives. What are some of the factors that bear upon these? That is, who, what are the realities contributing to some people living quite long, ripe age, while others, in our view, seems to be cut off, called home to eternity in the prime of their lives? What part does the individual play that you or I may live to see only 25 or 30 or 40 years, while the other person may live to see 80, 90, 100? What part does that individual, or what part did those two individuals play in one living long and the other one living relatively short? What part does God play? What part does outside factors play? What part does knowledge play? What part does evil or goodness play? Meaning, is it because a man or a woman is a good person, a religious person, is that the reason the person lives long? Is it because of evil the person died quick? These are some of the questions that will be answered, not today, of course, but we hope to look at these. That is, what part all of these? God, the individual, outside forces, knowledge, goodness, evil, play in either long life or short life. We must keep in mind that we are given only so much time in this life. We must bear that in mind. With all the necessary help step we take to help us live a better quality life, we are given only so much time here. We must also keep in mind that this life is probation. We must keep that in mind. For every one of us, we are on probation. And I think all, or at least most of us, understand the principle of probation. It means that we are given... Well, let me back up. You have a lot spoken about in respect to probation in the penal system, in prison. A person found guilty, and the judge has the right to put this person away for probably 5 years. But make the decision with consideration of other things to place that man, that woman, that boy, that girl on probation. In other words, you're not going to be sent to jail. You are going to be sent home, and you will need to report to the closest police station once every 3 months. Probation officer will check with you to see how you are behaving. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we are on life. That's right, life now is probation. Are you 80 years old? You are on probation. Are you 20 years old? You are on divine probation. These represent time given to us to show God how we will behave if given the chance in the other life. So God says, show me. Wait. That's why He gives us freedom of choice. We are telling God what kind of people we are as we live this life. So this life is probation. For every adult, we are on divine probation. Keep in mind that death resulted or came about because of sin. Had there been no sin, there would be no death. Romans 5, 12 through 13 and 6:23. Had there been no sin, there would be no death. Let us hear the passage.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world.
That is, because of one man sin entered the world. That one man that was Adam.
And death by sin.
And death by sin. Everyone understand what that means? That means death came about because of sin.
Amen.
That simple phrase, death by sin, means death came because of sin. It was through sin that death entered the world. Read.
And so death passed upon all men.
Death passed upon all of us.
For that all have sinned.
Because all have sinned. Yes, you have sinned. I have sinned. And death somewhere down the road. I stated that 2 weeks ago. It is there awaiting us. That somewhere down the road, we do not know if it is later today. That somewhere down the road, we do not know if it is tomorrow. Who was relating to me? Just within the past few days, a person who got in the hospital, relatively young person from a broken leg. And the person wasn't sickly. Just a broken leg. And within a few days, the person died. We do not know how death comes. Remember in the last lesson, I said death is certain and it is uncertain. It is sure to come, but the time we do not know. So what we are saying here, brothers and sisters, is that death is a part of the lives of every one of us. Read. You have read verse 13.
No. For until the law, sin was in the world.
Until the law. Wait. This can be a little vague. The word until there means before. Always remember that. The word until there mean before. Before the law,
sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law.
It's important that you get this. And there are people out there that tell you that there can be no sin without law. Your Seventh-day Adventist friend teach that. That if there is no law, there is no sin. Well, the Almighty God knows differently and is now telling us that it is not so. Sin was here before the law was here. And members of the Lord's church must know this and keep it in mind. Until the law, before the law, sin was here. Because, as I've stated here for years and will continue to state it, sin is primarily against God's nature. Remember that. Or God's word. Not necessarily a law. Whether God makes a law or not, when men and women live lives that are contrary to the holy nature of God, your sin. Whether there is a law made or given by God or not, sin is primarily against the holy nature of God. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not computed. It's not accounted. It's not held against you where God has not informed you. Romans chapter 6 verse 23, we are stating that death resulted or came about because of sin. That's where we are. We are looking on the subject today of life and death. Read.
For the wages of sin.
For the salary. Sin pays a salary. What is it?
It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
That is. Wait. This is both physical and eternal death. The passage just read in Romans chapter 6, in chapter 6 verse 23 is in reference to both physical and eternal death. The wages, the payday, the salary, the compensation that sin pays is
death.
But God's gift is the opposite. Eternal life. Are we there? Death resulted from sin. But here's another fact about death. Death is primarily separation. Death is not annihilation. You are not, you notice on the board, until when death takes place. You know, there are quite a few people that I knew that in recent time they died. And many of them are not people in advanced age. On my desk, there are many funeral programs. Sometimes I just keep them there because some of these are people I want to be reminded of. And each time you look on them, you feel a little sadness that here is a person who was here a month ago, but they are no more here. You know, death is like that. But that they are no more here doesn't mean they do not exist. When death comes, it doesn't mean we are annihilated, wiped out forever. Huh? You see, I annihilate what I had written there. That is gone. If you see another life or whatever I had there, it's because I've written a new one. But death is not like that. When you arrive, or any man die, life continues. The passage that was read, taken from Romans chapter 14, 7 through 9 this morning, or just now, is emphasizing that men and women are before the Almighty God, whether they live or whether they die. That's why Jesus Christ is Lord of the dead and of the living. So death is primarily separation. Let us hear the book of James chapter 2 and verse 26.
For as the body without the spirit is dead.
As the body without the spirit is
dead.
Everybody gets that? Do you see what I see? The passage is telling us what happens when death takes place. As simple as it is stated, what happens when death takes place? As the body without the spirit is dead. When your body or my body, when God takes out the spirit, our soul, we are dead. When you look and see a dead person there, it means that his godlike part, his soul, our spirit, has been taken by God. Separation. As the body
without
the spirit
is dead.
Is dead, so is faith without works. Notice here, the passage is really talking about faith. But it is using what happened at death to illustrate. Death is largely separation. Let the wise man Solomon further inform us on that. That death, remember we are coming from the fact that it was sin that brings death in the world. Then we move on to this point where death is largely a separation. James has just spoken on it. We go now to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 12 and verse 7. Death is separation.
Then shall the dust return to the earth.
Solomon is telling you what happened when death takes place. Then shall the dust
Return to the earth.
Return to the earth.
As it was.
As it was.
And the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
You notice that the man is almost saying the same thing that James said, only in different terms. Read again.
Then shall the dust return to the earth.
That's what we are. What we call flesh and bone is really the earth. Because when we are buried and we decay, our body becomes a part of the earth again. But there is another part to us that goes to God who gave it in the first place.
And the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
Now, everybody gets that? So here is another passage. The one the brothers just read telling us that death is separation. It is separation of our spiritual part from our physical part. What we must keep in mind is that the Almighty God is involved in both life and death. The passage that was read in Romans chapter 14 is telling us no man lives or die unto himself. When we live or alive, God is involved. When we die, God is involved. And that must be kept in mind. Ladies and gentlemen, not only that, we are still on the subject of death. There is physical death and there is spiritual death. I repeat, there is physical death and there is spiritual death. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Are we all there? James chapter 2 verse 26 that was read is talking about physical death. Brother Mitchell, say that again. James chapter 2 verse 26, which tells us that as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without work. That passage is telling us about what happens when we die physically. But there are other passages. Not only are the passages that describe physical death, there are other passages that describe physical death. Spiritual death, rather. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from the Almighty God for all. Well, let me back up. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. So, Brother Mitchell, where were you coming in with this from all time and eternity? Well, that is also a part of the spiritual death. But let me take it stage at a time. Remember, physical death is the separation of man's soul from God. Of the spiritual part of man from the physical part. And James chapter 2 verse 26 has just explained that. Spiritual death is the separation of man from God. Now let us look. There are going to be about 3 or 4 passages on this. And there are passages that you are well acquainted with. Let us look at Romans chapter 8 verse 6. spiritual death. Romans 8, 6. Matthew 8, 21, 22. 1 Timothy 5, 6. Revelation 20, 12 through 14. Let us hear about spiritual death.
For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
When you read this passage, always remember the passage is talking about being dead spiritually. The passage is talking about you are me when we have no relationship with the Almighty God. Read that again quick, brother.
For to be carnally minded is death.
Stop there and hold it. To be going through life where your total interest is on here and now physical thing that satisfy the physical man, secular things, worldly things, the passage is saying you are dead spiritually. Because when you live for physical things alone, you have no relationship with the Almighty God. You are dead spiritually. To be carnally minded is
death.
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
You know this? If you are a man or a woman who not only like but take sincere, deep interest in spiritual things, submit your life to God and you are serving Him, then that indicates that you are spiritual minded, and it means that you are alive spiritually because you have a relationship with God. That was Romans chapter 8
and verse 6.
Six. Matthew 8, 21, 22.
And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Permit me to go and bury my father. There's a very important explanation to this passage. May I? Because Jesus Christ was not forbidding the man to bury his dead daddy. That's what the passage seems to be saying. But it's not saying that. And I hope I'll get a chance to explain it. And I'm sure I will, hopefully, within, probably not today's lesson, next week's lesson. Another of his disciples said, permit me. The word suffer mean to permit. Permit me to go and bury my
father.
Man, daddy was dead. Read, brother. But Jesus said unto him,
follow me.
Follow me.
And let the dead bury their dead.
No. How can a dead bury dead? The two people are dead. You see, one was physically dead. The other was spiritually dead. When you are spiritually dead, you can be going about the physical affairs of life. You can walk, talk, go about your business, but because you have no relationship with God through Christ, you are dead. So when Jesus Christ says,
what Jesus said unto him,
Let the dead
bury their dead.
Their dead. You see, this first dead is spiritually dead. This second dead is physically dead. Naturally, this one can't move about to bury himself. But this one can. What are we talking about? Spiritual death. when you do not have a right relationship with God, the Almighty God sees you as being dead. Not only that, here are one or two more passages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. And then Revelation chapter 20. Let us hear it.
But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
Somebody didn't hear that.
But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, you notice it says she, it doesn't include us men. I have news for you. Men or women, when we live in pleasure, at the cost of living for Christ, we are dead while we are alive.
That's right.
So don't. The passage was dealing with a specific case here where it was talk about women and was pointing out women and it means just like men. If we live just to satisfy the physical man, the carnal man, the here and now man, then while we are able to go about our business, we are still dead. That was talking about spiritually dead, not physically dead. But here is another one. Revelation chapter 22, chapter 20, verse 12 through verse 14.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
Dead standing before God? Yes. This is talk about the resurrection, where all those who were dead would have been resurrected at this time.
And
they stand before God, small and great.
And the books were opened.
The books were opened. You see, God deal with book two. And I have news for you. If he needs to deal with the computer, he will have it. That's right. The books were opened.
And another book was opened.
And another book. Notice this one is singular. That's right. Another book, not books. Was open,
which is the book of life,
which is
the book
of life.
And the dead were judged out of those things which
you know, brothers and sisters, from what the Bible teaches, I have no doubt that this is the Bible. Jesus Christ in the book of St. John chapter 12 and verse 48 says, by these words you shall be judged, and by these words you shall be justified. So what Jesus Christ was saying there, his teaching is that which going to judge men and women, and either condemn them or justify them. That's the Bible. That's the gospel. Read, brother.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead.
The sea gave up the dead that was in it then.
And death and hell delivered up the dead.
No, notice. It's important that you take note here. We'll talk about death helping you to understand better the subject of death. Their physical death and spiritual death. We are dealing now with spiritual death. When a man or a woman is separated from God, that is, you can be separated from God in time, now. That is spiritual death. But you can also be separated from God in eternity. That is also spiritual but eternal death. Read, brother.
Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake.
Notice here, death and
hell
was cast into the
lake of fire.
The lake. Uh-huh.
This is the second death.
You notice there is a second death? Why second, Brother Mitchell? Because there is a first death. The word second death here is used in reference to the first physical death. The word second death here is not used in reference to spiritual death. Second death. Second death is used in reference to the first death that you and I go through, which is physical death. This, let me hear, brother. This is the
second death.
Second death.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life.
In the book of life.
Was cast into the lake of fire.
Was cast into the lake of fire.
That's the end of verse 15.
And that lake, Jonathan, is the second death. We are dealing with life and death this morning. So there is a second death. To be separated from God in the lake of fire for all time and eternity is eternal death. And that the Bible calls second death. But may I, as we get down closer to the finish, may I? Death is further distinguished by inspiration in terms of types or kinds of death. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Death is further distinguished by heaven in terms of the kinds of death or the types of death. So death is distinguished not only by the fact that there is physical death and spiritual death, but it is also distinguished by the fact that there is the death of the righteous and there is the death of the wicked. You know, that really concerns us. But somebody said, Brother Mitchell, all death is the same death. Not at all. Not at all. Follow me now with these few other passages. As I said, death is further distinguished by inspiration. That is by heaven. And it is distinguished in terms of kinds of death or types of death. There is the death of the righteous distinguished from the death of the wicked or the unrighteous. Now there are many passages that distinguish death. And those of us here this morning should listen keenly. Because don't ever make the mistake in thinking that you die and I die and every one of us, the man on the street and the man who served God, that when we die we are the same. There is no greater mistake to make. Let us turn to the book of Numbers. And we're going to ask the brother to let us have verse 10. Another one, turn to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Another brother, turn to the book of Psalms 116 and verse 15. Let us have it. Numbers 23:10. What are we looking on? That death is being separated in a distinction, a difference in the kinds and type of death they are. The death of the righteous is different from the death of the wicked. Let us hear it.
Who can count the dust of Jacob?
Who can count the dust of Jacob? Talking about the Israelite. Read.
And the number of the fourth part of Israel.
And who can count the number of the fourth part of Israel?
Let me die the death of the righteous.
Let me die what kind of death?
The death of the righteous.
What kind of death?
The death of the righteous. And let my last end be like his.
May I? What Naaman had failed to recognize, you see, Naaman was willing to do almost anything for money. Because when when Balak offered him honor and money to curse Israel, even though the Almighty God had previously told him not to, he asked Balak to wait a minute, let me go back and see if God changes his mind. He was ready to curse Israel for money. Now here he is. He knew more than you and I, because some of us don't realize that there is a difference in the death of the child of God and the man or woman who is not a child of God. So Balaam, recognizing he's going to die, and his wish was, let me die the death of the righteous. But let the Almighty God further expand on it for us. Everyone here should want to die the death of the righteous. God going to expand on this in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Let us hear it.
Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God.
As I live, saith the Lord God.
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
I have no pleasure
in the death of the wicked.
In the death of the wicked. Wait. I have always thought, in my ignorance, that when the wicked and godly man dies, God glad. And when you think of it, the Bible talks about the long suffering of God, eh? Well, it is our sin that caused God to suffer. And you would imagine the wicked man who doesn't care about serving God, man or woman, you would think that the way human think, that when that man or woman dies, God feels good. Well, God has corrected us here. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Read on a little further.
But that the wicked turn from his way.
That's
and
what
live.
God wants. That the wicked man or woman repent. Are we all there? Brother Mitchell, thank God I'm not wicked. Who tell you that? If you have not submitted your life to Jesus Christ in obedience from what the Bible teaches many places, you are wicked. Should I use the talent, the men who were given talent to use for their master, and the one who got the one and didn't use it, he was referred to as wicked? Not because he stole his boss money, but simply because he didn't make some more money on it. When you do not use your life for God's purpose, you are wicked. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So you see, the Bible is making a distinction here. In fact, I move from Numbers chapter 22 and verse 10 about dying the death of the righteous, and I said, let God enlighten us further. Then we came here to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 11. Now, let God further enlighten us in the book of Psalms 116 and verse 15. On the same point of making distinction and helping us to understand there are different kinds of death. Quick, brother.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. Oh my God. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. No pleasure. And here the brother is at Psalms 116 and verse 15. God says,
precious.
He have pleasure. He has pleasure. Now this seems contradictory. Why, Brother Mitchell? You would expect that when the righteous man die, God would regret that. But that is the death that God likes. And he has no pleasure. May I just, as we are wrapping up. Why God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked? Because the Almighty God knows where the wicked going to end up. That's the bottom line. And God does not want any man or woman to be perishing in hell. So God knows when a man or woman dies in sin, the person going to end up in the eternal hell. God doesn't want that. This is why God is calling upon the ungodly men and women to repent. That's what the passage of Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11 says. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked may turn from his wicked ways. That's why God has pleasure in the death of the righteous. Because that man or woman who lived for Christ is coming home to peace and bliss. You didn't finish reading the passage, you know, brother.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds.
May I? You see, brother, it is because he was a servant why the Almighty God has pleasure in his death. And one last passage. May I? One last passage. Luke 16, verse 22. We are looking on the kinds and types of death. The Bible makes distinction.
And it came to pass. That the beggar died. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Jonathan, the beggar here represent the godly and the obedient. The beggar is not saved or depicted as being saved because he was poor or he was a beggar. The rich man did not end up in hell because he was rich, but because of his attitude towards his wealth. Let me hear the passage, brother. Very important passage, because there's something here that you must note. Read again.
And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
He was
carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
By angels into Abraham's bosom. He died. The rich man also died.
and was buried.
And he was simply
buried.
Buried. You notice what I notice? It's two dead. One was simply buried. One was carried by angels. Brothers and sisters, this is Petrus giving us a glimpse that when, you see, there is an abode of our spirit. Say that another way, Brother Mitchell. When every man, every woman dies, our God, life path, our spirit, our soul is taken to a different world, so to speak. The Bible calls that world Hades. What you gather from this passage, when the obedient, when the Christian dies, one of the functions that angels play is to carry and direct the spirit of the soul to the abode of the obedient. But there is nowhere in the Bible that indicates that angel does the same for the wicked. And what we gather here is that from we form a relationship with Jesus Christ at baptism, he never leaves us. Even in death, we are assisted to our intermediate abode until the final judgment. Haven't we been told somewhere, I think in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, that let your conversation be without covetousness and be content, help me here, with such things as you have, because he has said. What has he said? Nobody has it. I will never leave thee. That's Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I will never. Read it now, brother.
Let your conversation be without covetousness.
Uh-huh.
And be content with such things as ye have.
Uh-huh.
For he has said.
But why should you be content with such things as you have, and therefore not engage in enviousness and covetousness and greed? Because the Almighty God has made a promise to his people. What is that promise?
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Finish, brother.
So that we may boldly say.
How we going to say? Boldly.
The Lord is my helper.
Uh-huh.
And I will not fear what man shall do unto
me. You know what I like about this passage? God's never. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You remember why we came here? I hope you remember, because I want to close right now. We came to this passage to show, when we learn from the book of Luke chapter 16:22 or somewhere there, that when the child of God dies, his spirit, his soul is taken to Hades by angels. And I made the point that from we became Christian, from we formed a relationship with the Almighty God in Christ at baptism, the Almighty God stays with us right on if we stay with him. And this passage confirmed that God will never leave us as long as we stay with him. To the extent that even in death, isn't that wonderful? The angel come and take our soul. Do you die in the hospital? Do you die at home? Do you die in a car accident? Wherever you die, The angel is there to take your soul to the place where it will await the final judgment. What a blessing that don't let anybody fool you that the Christian die like the ungodly. In some ways, but in the most profound ways, they are different. Huh? From we start our fellowship with Christ at baptism, He never leaves us on our own. Angels bear our soul, or the soul of the godly, to the abode of the saints. May I just throw this? I can't comment on it because time is up. Remember that baptism places us in Christ. It does not keep us there. I hope I'll remember to comment on this next week. When you get baptized, don't believe your Christianity ends there. Baptism puts us in Christ, but it does not keep us there. That's why Jesus Christ said in the book of St. John chapter 15 and verse 13, don't worry, read it, in St. John chapter 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me, you see, you must stay with Christ. Once you get in Him through baptism, you must make a resolve to stay there, so that you can die there. Today you can give your life to Christ. In fact, today you can get in Christ. Through faith in Him. Repentance from sin. Remember what God says to the wicked? And the wicked person is the person who lives his or her own life. Jesus Christ says what He wants for you is not that He wants you to die. He wants you to repent. You can do that right now, today. Get in Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism. And stay in Christ. Remember, we read about the man who wants to die the death of the righteous. What he didn't realize, that you have to live the life of the righteous. You can start today. Right now. And before I ask that we stand, remember, next week we pick up on some of the detail that the Bible gives us. Why some people life cut off, even good people, even Christians, at 30, 40, 50? Why sometimes a most ungodly man or woman seems to live 80, 90, 100? Is there confusion there? God's word will help clear that up next week. Life and death. That's the subject we are on. Come and learn. But right now, you have learned enough to realize that you need to be in Jesus Christ. You learn that you are now on probation. All of us. All of us, we are on probation. That is, you are given this life as a test, as an examination. As we stand, Christ gives you this moment, this day, to respond to Him in obedience. Let us stand. 567.